Recording from the ashram of our revered Guru Pujyatman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji in Miami, Florida. Today is August the 30th, 2015. And on this Sunday evening, Swamiji will continue with the lecture series on highlights of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. This is series 2013, lecture number 92. And now our revered Guru Pujyatman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji.
Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kansa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagad Gurum Om. Relations Lord Krishna, the preceptor of the universe, destroyer of the forces of darkness, and bestower of immortality. Presently, in 9th chapter, chapter is entitled Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yoga. Raja Vidya means royal knowledge. Raja Guhya Yoga, yoga of royal secret. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, idam tu te guhyatamam parvakshyamyana suyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajgatva mokshase shubhat. Okay, you have to be patient with my throat. Lord Krishna said, I will declare to you who are free of finding fault in others the greatest secret in the form of the intellectual as well as intuitive knowledge of Brahman, knowing which you will attain freedom from the evil of the world process. So many points are put together. I will declare to you why should he impart this knowledge to Arjuna? Krishna says, because you are free of finding fault in others. You are endowed with the quality of anasuya. Asuya is a fault-finding habit. As long as mind is externalized, it sees so many faults everywhere, up in the stars, down in the ocean, with scientists, with all types of artists, everywhere, lots of confusion and fault. But looking within doesn't find any. The habit of finger pointing in a very simple, humorous way. We say when you point one finger, three fingers point to you. And many episodes have been given in Mahabharata and scriptures to give importance to introspection. When you are finding one fault in others and you become so excited, what about the three fingers pointing to you? And you are not excited about it. hmm? in Mahabharata. Dronacharya gave a a task to his students. That custom has gone on from ancient times. You stay with the teacher, but there is some vacation time, and the teacher gives you a task. You accomplish that task during the vacation. And the task was find someone who is the worst, and find someone who is the best. Two questions to be researched. That was the research project. And after the the vacation time, they all gathered, and Dronacharya asked, have you accomplished the task? And Duryodhana raised his hand, and he said, yes, I am the best. I studied all and gathered all information about all great men of that time. He said, you knew, I studied you well, and there is absolutely no flaw in you. But one thing cannot be negated. You are much older than me. So that becomes a flaw. So I am the best. And Dronacharya turned to Yudhishthira and asked, what about your research? And he said that he studied all those who came within his range of study. He found they have always good qualities in them, amazingly. And looking into myself, I find I need to develop so many qualities. So I am focused on myself. I am the worst. The worst is not a quick judgment of denouncing yourself, but what is highlighted is a mind so eager to promote the hidden potentiality within you that nothing else seems to be important. The world has countless problems, but in the midst of all problems, the problem of all problems is you. If you were to enrich yourself, you will be doing the most significant task. So that's about Anasuya. There's another story attached in the scriptures. There is a Brahmin couple, sage Atri, wedded to Anasuya. And Anasuya has developed such purity and chastity that even gods, even Lakshmi, Saraswati and Parvati, they are jealous of her. They send Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva to test her put her to trial. And they put her to trial, they say, give us arms, let's say, old style. Without having any clothes, without clothes. All that is in a storyline, it seems quite crude. The real meaning behind it, offer adorations to us, stripping yourself of the layers of illusion that you wear. Therefore, she is Anasuya. Her mind sees no error in anyone, but friendly towards all. That type of mind strips the soul of all its clothes. Your physical body is a cloth. The pranic layer is another cloth. Mind, intellect, senses, these are all clothes. Stripped of all these, they are called koshas, the soul offers itself to God. And that type of offering is accepted by all the three gods. So much so, the three gods become three children of earth. They become babies. The Vatsalya Rasa reaches the highest in devotion to God. There are different attitudes. The attitude of a mother to a child, that is the highest in devotion. Because a mother goes on showering all the love for the child without expectation. She doesn't write down in the diary all the expenses she has occurred. In the same way, developing divine love God becomes your baby. God word, your love for God is so tender and profound that just like a mother's love to a baby. Only as simile, not take it literally. Anasuya was wedded to Atri. Tri means tried. A means negation. Relative consciousness is Tri. Soul blended with relative consciousness is called Tri. I will not lead you to the big range of talks. Stree relates to women. And people have led their mind to so many discussions that women are looked down in the scriptures. But what is being looked down is consciousness that depends upon the three illusions. Seer, seen, and sight. In your dream, your consciousness is gripped by three illusions. Illusion about yourself, called drashta, the seer. Who is the subject of the dream? The subject is not real. what's the object of the dream? The object, the whole dream world. Dream world is not real. The interacting experience is not real either. And that's the predicament of all human experiences. Dream is only a simile I'm giving. But likewise, people don't know themselves who they are. The world is not understood by people. The result goes on and on and on. An interacting experience. Ego views something delightful, later finds that what was delightful was poisonous. So you do not really have the knowledge of what should be your experience. So gripped by these three illusions, the soul continues to move from bondage to bondage. Atri is that state where soul has become free of these three, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is the potential in every individual. The feeling of your heart that follows pure consciousness must be rid of fault-finding nature. So, consciousness blended with that type of feeling is the spiritual set, the divine couple, Atri and Anasuya. If you have that type of form, a setting within yourself, then all the three deities, the highest, they come together in the form of Dattatreya, an incarnation of Lord Vishnu with three heads, who is considered the three deities together. So I will not lead further in that direction. So I will declare to you who are free of finding fault in others the greatest secret. What's the greatest secret? It is in the form of intellectual as well as intuitive knowledge of Brahman. Knowledge of Brahman. That's the greatest secret. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. It's another way of saying, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven, the knowledge of Brahman. Seek that first. The scriptures say, knowing which all is known. There's an episode where Guru asks his son, who has been educated in various educational departments of that time, and he came with a little pride in his head. And the Guru asks, have you learned, have you known that knowing which all is known? And he became surprised. He said, how can? You know one thing, then you have to, other thing is waiting for you. You know geography, then you have to study history. You know history, then you study something else, mathematics. You study mathematics, then go after literature. By knowing one, you don't know everything. The sage said, by knowing Brahman, all is known. Just like By knowing clay, you know all clay pots that have evolved out of it. By knowing the sun, you know all the reflected suns that shine. By knowing the screen, you know all the projections. All these are figurative, but sufficient to give you an idea. By knowing your pure consciousness, all that mind builds up, creates. Mind's creations are like projections. Thoughts rise and fall through mental process. With every rise and fall of thought, certain experience, certain frame of experience develops. You are experiencing time, space, causation, all through the thought waves of your mind. If you were to focus your research towards the objects of your thought waves, towards the objects of the world, that knowledge will be knowledge that is not perfect, the knowledge of illusion. But if your knowledge is directed towards realizing, who am I? Realizing pure consciousness, then all things, all this world of multiplicity is nothing but pure consciousness for easier understanding. Think of the sun. All illuminations on this earth, they are due to the light of the sun. But if you go after studying the illuminations, you can go on and on endlessly. If you study the sun, all illuminations are studied automatically, because the sun is the reality behind all illuminations. Likewise, the real I am in you is like the sun. Pure awareness. You have the experience of pure awareness when you go to sleep to a very great extent. If sleep experience was not there, Vedanta would be very difficult to understand. In sleep, what's most vivid is that come to exist without your physical body, which is so dear to you, without your mind, without your ego. You throw your ego away just like people throw away their sandals. In sleep, without ego, without mind, without body, without objects of the senses, without past, present and future, you are very peaceful in sound sleep. What has happened? Where are you now in deep sleep? Simple to understand. You are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, not the ego. You are that which cannot be described by your mind, because the mind itself moves away, and still you are. That's what we say, Brahman, the Absolute, that's pure consciousness. That describes the Satchidananda, existence, knowledge, bliss, Absolute. Knowing which all is known. Therefore, it is the greatest secret. And it comes to an aspirant in two stages, intellectual knowledge and intuitional knowledge. Intellectual knowledge called paroksha jnana, indirect knowledge, all through your sadhana. You are led by an indirect knowledge that there is Brahman. And there is a path leading to realizing Brahman. And there is a whole system of guru, disciples. All that you follow. And during this, you are sustained by intellectual knowledge. But intellectual knowledge blended with sadhana, blended with a process that integrates your personality, blended with yoga. Intellectual knowledge begins to blend into intuitional knowledge. It is just like, suppose, early in the morning, you are looking at the sun. But this rising sun is veiled by cloud. So, in spite of that, you have faith and you have experience that the sun is there behind. You focus your eyes there and you go on asserting, the sun is there, the sun is there. But you are not seeing it. You are seeing the cloud dazzling. The very indirect knowledge has its special effect on you. Even though you are not seeing the sun, but you start seeing a change occurring in your unconscious. Your impressions begin to shine. Your subtle desires begin to shimmer. Even though you have not attained the knowledge, but that experience is leading you on. As you continue, the cloud moves away, sun shines, and there is direct revelation. So the two stages, stage where sun is not shining, but you know there is, and there is some indirect way of perceiving it. Another, sun shines, cloud has moved away, there is not a shadow of doubt. In two stages you move towards enlightenment. First stage is called jnanam. The second stage, vijnanam. In this particular context, jnanam is intellectual knowledge, which is indirect. Vijnanam, intuitional knowledge. Yajjnatva mukshase shubhat. Knowing this, you will attain freedom from the evil of the world process. Evil of the world process. This again is a very profound statement, very so quickly said. The souls constantly strive for the world process. World process is getting into embodied state and getting involved in the wheel. Bhava Chakra, as an individual, you do good karmas as well as negative karmas, positive, negative, virtue, vice. Led by karmas, pleasure, pain. led by pleasure and pain, likes and dislikes, dharma, adharma, pleasure, pain, and raga, dvesha, attachment and hatred. The six spokes, they go to form the wheel. And the center of these six spokes is your ego. Ego that is designing these spokes, led by the mind. Mind is the source. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. Mind is the source of leading you to liberation or keeping you in bondage. Through the utilization of your mental energy, you can attain amazing heights of glory. Or through the misuse of your own mind, you can dive yourself to most difficult predicaments. So the point is, Upanishads give you two terms, Bhuma and Alpam. Bhuma means infinite joy. Infinite joy is possible when you realize who am I and let your ego dissolve. The real I am shines forth and your mind itself undergoes dissolution. All that doesn't happen in one movement, but there is a whole gradation of movement. So that's called Bhuma, absolute attainment, revelation of your own self. All attainments that keep you bonded with the world and moving from embodiment to embodiment, that's called the world process. This world process is filled with misery. No matter how successful you are, there is always a question mark on your head. How long? How long are you going to enjoy it? You have found the dream turned real. And you have the dream house, you have the dream pet, you have the dream dream cream. But along with all this, there is a question mark. How long? Are you going to be fulfilled? But you are not. The proof is, you are still here. Millions of embodiment have gone on. Past you cannot measure in time how much has been. And you didn't come out of zero. At every moment in creation you have been there. Your existence has not just come to exist with your body. And it will continue. Therefore, mind should not continue to maintain that error of bhava-vyadhi, of maintaining the disease of the world process. It should go after the cure, and that cure is attainment of bhuma. Another two words are used, Shreya and Preya. Shreya is good. Allow your soul to follow the good. And what happens? Good loses one of the O's. God. If you don't allow the soul to follow the good, then you are following the pleasant. And the world that is pleasant, that leads you to lot of torture, lot of legends. You can understand. One verse allowed me to talk about all these things. Still I am not satisfied. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Iramuttamam Pityakshaogamyam Dhamyam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of all knowledge, the royal secret, the best of all purifiers, fit to be realized directly by intuition. It is of the highest dharma, very easy of attainment, and yet imperishable. Firstly, this knowledge is the king of all knowledge. Why, knowing this, all is known. But it's a royal secret. You cannot be led by your ego to attain that knowledge. You have to come into conjunction with a teaching that allows you to follow the process of surrender of your ego, a process of self-effacement. Because ego is the one that has been choking your throat like a devil with raga dvesha, attachment and hatred. So if you are guided by your ego, there is no freedom. You have to be led by a process where ego itself is outstepped. And that's the most heroic task a human being can do. To have a project of outstepping the ego. To stay confined to the ego, that's a miserable state. Getting out of the ego, going beyond the ego, that's the magnanimous attainment. And it's the best of all purifiers. Like the sun rises and darkness goes. The best source of removing darkness is the sun. You cannot go on counting upon brilliant bulbs to replace the sun. Sun has to rise. The knowledge of the self has to develop intuitionally. And just like darkness moves away, all impurities move away. It is of the highest dharma. Dharma is ethical value. And the highest dharma is the spiritual value of life. Spiritual value is infinite value. Spiritual value is leading the soul to enlightenment, moksha. is very easy of attainment. Absolutely easy. Why? Because it is a movement towards being, not becoming. In the relative world, all that you attain is movement of becoming. This is something simple but profound, but we need to understand it well. Think of all your experiences in dream. They are experiences of becoming. Nothing of your dream can add to you. But while in dream, everything artificial has become added to you. Everything that is unnatural has become a part of you. In your practical life, physical body is not you, but it has become added to you. Senses, mind, intellect, ego, and various realities based on all these. They are like tentacles. And they go on developing these tentacles. And you were just a little creature, now having big tentacles. You feel you have become very big. That's called becoming. The reality in you doesn't need any becoming. From dream, all that you need to do is to wake up. What could be more simple than that? You want to bring down some fruits from the dream tree requires effort. Waking up doesn't require effort. Similarly, liberation is to wake up. And with this I will conclude. Om Shanti.
Helping guide us and support us and love us and bless us. We're all amazingly blessed to be in the presence of an enlightened sage. You mentioned in your talk about fault finding, and isn't it true that when we're in separateness and in duality that it's easy to find fault? But when we're bringing our conscious awareness back to the place that we are not separate, that there are no names and forms, that there's no this and that, me and you, then fault-finding disappears.
Perfectly so. Correct.
So other than bringing our awareness back to that place over and over again, which is really the intellectual knowledge piece, the intuitive knowledge is the seeing the world through the eyes of the heart instead of the head. Is that true?
That's correct. That's correct. And come to another level. If you are coming to the heart level, your presence will remedy people of their faults without your knowing it. Vasantavat lokahite charanta. Spiritual movement comes like a spring season. The spirit of spring, you don't see where it is. But you see in every flower, every little plant.
Swamiji, frequently during the day, I just have negative impressions that will come in my mind. Things that just negative thoughts. Well, how's the best way of controlling this? Is it just through meditation and controlling your mind, or how can I handle that?
First point, watch the negative like a spectator. Be a witness. Suppose you are in a plane, you open the window and you see the clouds, not so interesting to look at. And all that you do is either you close the window or just watch and you go on. That's called Sakshi Bhav. Another point is there. If your worries, etc., are based on some experience, then be open to insight. Ask God why such some things happen in the past. What should I do? You don't ask, I mean, literally, but that type of attitude. With that attitude, you do your japa, your meditation, and relax yourself that God is going to give you an insight about it. One way or the other, do not highlight your stress, that what can I do? This stress is increasing day by day. No matter how much negative is there, positive is like light. The light does not have any calculation about how much negative, darkness. Movement, Godward movement is like light. And that faith has to go on developing. That in spite of all the worries, anxieties, I am supported by God who is almighty, and in whom all problems resolve. And create an atmosphere of reminding yourself. Satsanga.
Swamiji, thank you for being here for all of us. My question is regarding grief and suffering for the loss of either the grieving involved when there is a loss in the family or a separation of a family. What is involved there? The ego and what is the best the way to deal with that, to end the suffering, so to speak?
First simple point, that's suffering is suffering, and it is never pleasant. And so, people whom you have loved, even pets, and a loved one dies, there will be suffering. Just like mosquitoes come on your face, they are going to bite. Your face can become red because of the bite. But that doesn't mean that you are drowned in. Do not let yourself become drowned into that sorrow. Keep the sorrow at a surface level. And go on understanding that this is the nature of life. Even when things don't move away in a tragic way, yet you outgrow them. Children love their yogi bears. But they outgrow them. Nobody dies. But the same value doesn't exist. And allow mind to understand the transient nature of the world. No one is going to stay. Everyone's death, even if it may be at 94 or 100 years, death will be missed. And to many it will be a sorrowful experience. But nevertheless it has to happen. And you have passed through many. Understand that from one's own point of view, people should stay with you, should not stay, that's your point. But they are being led by God's view. They are souls. They have to attain their process of evolution. So resign to God and understand that everyone is being handled by God. And every soul is essentially God Himself. And it is that which will lead you to be free of grief. That's the brief I can say.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it now.